Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
No.
This is Creepy, a podcast dedicated to sharing the most famous, chilling, and disturbing creepypastas and urban legends in the world. Whether these stories truly happened or are simply fabrications is for you to decide. These stories may contain graphic depictions of violence and explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Creepy presents The Holders series, number 92, The Holder of Salmacis. In any city in any country, go to any mental institution or halfway house. Go immediately to the front desk and ask the clerk to let you visit the Holder of Salmacis. Should they look you up and down judgmentally, you have come to the right place. They will push a hidden button. Stand perfectly still. The janitor will come and escort you into an adjacent hallway and through a door. Once through the door, he will take you by the shoulders and ask you if you have met with the Holder of Passion. Answer honestly. If your answer is no, he will shove you out the door. Run fast and run far. Do not stop until the sun sets twice, for every plant in the city will wish to crush your body to bloody dust. If your answer was yes, he will take you deeper into the complex. You will hear a variety of screams, both male and female. If you were to look into the doors of the hall, you would see in each a man and a woman, sewn together in every grotesque manner. Do not look in those doors. If you do, you will be taken into one of them and sewn to another person without anesthesia, and they will forever struggle to pull away from you, tugging at the seams until your skin threatens to tear. Since you did not look in, the janitor will take you to the end of the hall. He will take you through another door and take you by the hand. He will ask you if you have met with the Holder of Innocence. Answer honestly. If your answer is no, he will glare at you angrily and smash your head against the door until your brains cover you. This hall will not allow you to die from this, and instead, you will lay there for all eternity without the ability to move or ponder anything beyond your own pain. If your answer was yes, he will take you down this new hallway. It will appear to wind and twist like a serpent coiled around a cylinder. Do not be fooled. This hallway is straighter than any arrow. Step off the true path and you will fall for all eternity. When you reach the end, he will ask you one last question. Have you met with the holder of Triskelion? Do not answer. This is a trick, one that will cost you your life unless you discover its secret. There is no holder of the Triskelion. Instead, you must hold up either Object 5 or 13, the Eye of Light or the Shattered Hourglass of Darkness. If you say anything or hold up any other object, even those in the deepest pits of hell will weep for you. He will take you within one final door and lock you inside. This room will be pitch dark and empty, save for the door, a chair, and an antique clock. Sit in the chair and pat your inner thighs thrice. Turn the chair to face the clock. Then stand and move the hands of the clock back 4 minutes and 13 seconds. The door will slide away and reveal a hallway different from the one you were in before. This forgotten hallway will appear run down, save for the ivory statuettes of both men and women flanking you along the walls. Though beautifully carved, these statuettes will have their faces racked with the pain of childbirth. Yes, even the male statues will have distended bellies from the child their bodies should not be able to bring to term, and they cannot push them from their bodies. Do not touch these statues. Run now, down to the end of the hall. Do so quickly, for time has begun again, and your window is short. At the end, you will find a chainsaw with a diesel engine. Start it up. Slash and carve away at all the statuettes. Do not let a single one survive, and do not let a single shard of them touch you. If you fail in this, the statuettes will grow to full human height and set upon you, and will do every manner of unclean act to you. When they are finished, you become just as them, forever giving birth, forever defiling, never free. Pray this is not your fate, and you still have time to return to the room with the clock from whence you came. Sit in the chair and face the clock, but do not let the chainsaw stop running. The clock's gears will fall down, forming a mouth full of gear teeth. This mouth will pucker. Lean down and kiss it. Be sure your eyes are closed and your kiss is passionate. Accept its porcelain tongue in your mouth as you would a lover. If you do not, those same gears will pulverize you slowly. Do not stop kissing if arms wrap around your shoulders or porcelain legs around your waist. This is the holder of Selmysis. She will appear as a perfect doll woman, a mannequin correct in anatomy down to every inch, all save for a bracket just above her nethers. Do not stare at this bracket. Stare only into her eyes. Only the Seeker of Holders should have made it this far, she will say. Are you the Seeker? Tell her the truth. For your punishment, if you are not, will pale in comparison to the 7 hells visited upon you for lying. If you are the Seeker, she will begin to talk. She will tell you of her twin sister, the bride and holder of the Seeker. She will tell you of her many surgeries. She will tell you in vivid detail of her slow transformation into a living doll, each cut and seam made without anesthesia. Do not listen, or your body will undergo the same surgeries as she speaks them. Instead, squat down and pat your inner thighs once per second, 253 times. When you have done this, she will be done speaking. Ask her,
how may I deliver our last hope?
She will smile at you and reach up, grabbing unseen handles in the ceiling. She will lift herself into the air, but her legs and waist will not come with her. Now you must complete the body. Place into the pelvis object 18, the uterus of passions. Attached to the bracket, object 19, the phallus of innocence. She will then descend and reattach. Quickly, hold her close to you, for a circle of sharp blades will fire up from the floor, carrying with it crimson silk. Do not let go of her. Ignore the searing, slicing pain in your legs and abdomen. Clutch her close. Ignore the spray of blood from your chest. If you were to let her go now, this pain would be yours eternally. She will then step back and drop to the floor. Her pelvis will be missing and her breasts will be gone. She will be dead. The searing pain in your loins and chest will subside, but do not look down. If you do so now, a madness beyond all others will take you. The silk ring will twist and twirl, tightening into rope with you still inside. Do not panic. Do not struggle. When it seems you will be crushed, the silk will slip around you. You will find yourself standing before three doors. Two will be restroom doors. One will have a strange mark. Take the center door with the mark. You will find yourself in a restroom, similar to a men's restroom, but sweet-smelling and with a dispenser of feminine hygiene products. Go into one of the stalls and look down. The pelvis you constructed in the holder of Salmasis, as well as her breasts, are now yours. Become acquainted with your new body. When you are done, leave the restroom, and you will find yourself in the lobby of the mental institution. Her pelvis is object 92 of 538. With it, you may bear the child of passions and innocence. Number 93, Holder of Slaughter. In any city, in any country, go to any wedding you can get yourself into. Walk up to the stage and ask the organ player to see someone called the Holder of Slaughter. Should he give you a sly grin, you've come to the right place. With a wink, he will pass a machete to you from under the keys and tell you to lock the doors. Stride purposefully to every door and make sure they will not open. And do not worry that anyone will see the weapon. Tap the hilt of the blade to every locked door and every window. This will ensure that no one escapes. When you have done so, move to the farthest row of pews and stand in the aisle until the organ player strikes up a mournful, haunting melody, much to the confusion of the assembled well-wishers. Wait for exactly 29 measures to pass. When the 13th measure begins, lift the machete over your head and strike the first person who is within your reach. Amid the terrified screams, the music should become louder, ringing through the pipes with force enough to shake the entire church to the foundation. Now, you must, with great leisure and deliberation, move back and forth along the pews, slashing at every occupant of the building. You must show no mercy, no hesitation, only a slight bemusement at seeing the floors and your body washed in innocent blood. If you allow even the smallest hint of mercy to enter your mind, the forces in the blade will consume your soul, torturing it with endless guilt and agony, while your body becomes their tool. As you sweep along the rows, you may hear the preacher continuing to speak, highlighting all of the best deeds of humanity and citing many things you and your family have done. Listen not to his sermon, for he knows this game well and is trying to confuse you into pausing. When the rows are clear, kill anyone standing at the doors and watch them scramble to the main aisle, gathering in front of the podium. Flames will leap from the keys of the ancient instrument as you methodically walk towards them, outlining the few remaining survivors. Give them your maddest grin and tell them, soothingly, "Only the tainted fear death." Lash out and cleave the groom's head in two. Killing anyone else with this blow will alert heavenly powers to your presence. The man's head will explode, but the body will turn and leap to the preacher. Spikes of bone will erupt from the corpse, severing many of the elderly man's arteries. Now you may finish off the rest of the guests, but save the bride for last. She will fall to the ground, weeping uncontrollably. Kneel down to her and pull her head to face your gaze. Kiss her on the forehead and ask her where God is. If she begins to laugh, then he is here and will exact a punishment that will rival all the pains of the Old Testament. Should she cry harder, wailing with grief, then pull her gently to stand and embrace her. The organ player will now rise, a corona of fire wreathing his body, allowing the instrument to play itself, and walk down the stairs to you with an outstretched hand. Give him the machete, and do your best not to feel any regret. Flames will surround the weapon, and he will ram it through both of you. The bride will be in too much pain to scream as both of your bodies are burned to ash. If you have any remorse at all for what you have done, then this pain will only be the beginning of your eons-long torture. If you have none, then it will feel as if the fire has permeated your very soul, obscuring your vision with a red haze. Then, like a wisp of smoke, they will be gone, and you will see the church again. Only now, it is an effigy of hell. The walls are now crafted of flesh, oozing blood and pus from countless gaping wounds. Fire sprouts up from the floor with no warning, and the air is heavy with the cries of thousands of tortured dead. All of the revelers are chained to crudely formed pews of bone, impaled in every joint by nigh molten skewers of steel. The bride will be before the podium, her limbs spread wide as she is secured to a rack-like device. Clusters of grotesque, malformed demons will peruse the crowd, randomly grouping together and ravishing the helpless souls, staining them with gouts of saliva, semen, and blood. And in all of this, you must stand and watch, unfazed. Even wincing once at the various activities will cause the demons to mistake you for one of the guests and subject you to the same treatment. After a handful of eternities, the demons will all converge on the bride, pleasing themselves in fashions that no ordinary human would be possible to achieve. Chunks of flesh, human and demonic, will fly through the air while they rape the woman's soul. When all of them seem to stop, take four steps down the aisle. They will all disperse, leaving her covered in more fluids than you will be able to identify. The organ player will appear before you, saying that you have performed a unique and kind service for him, and state that he will give you one concession for your deeds. Ask him, in an even voice, "Why did they kill?" He will look at you, clearly confused for a moment. Ask him again, and he will break into a kind, fatherly smile and explain, in a voice that is neither human nor demon, the multitude of reasons they have for seeing so many dead. Visions of great atrocities will swim in your mind as he speaks, picturing every one with you as their instigator. This may drive you mad, but if you are truly set in this path, you will see them as only a minor annoyance. When he has finished, he will tell you it's time to go and touch you on the shoulder. The pain of immolation will strike you again, and everything will go dark. You will wake up the next day in the place you call home, with the morning's newspaper beside you. Its headline will shout of the mysterious murders of an entire wedding party, with no suspects to be had. Beside the paper, there will be a thank you note with a signet ring attached. This is Object 93 of 538, the seal of eternal genocide. Number 94, the holder of the self. In any city, in any country, go into any mental institution or halfway house you can get into. Go to the front desk and ask to see the one who calls himself the holder of the self. They will cock an eyebrow at you, then throw a bit of whatever they were eating at you and call you an idiot. Repeat your request, and they will relent. They will take you behind a door and wave you to an examination table. They will then leave, shaking their head at you. Take off your clothes, although you may keep on your underwear if you choose. Lay back on the table, your arms at your side and your legs slightly spread to the edges of the table. At this moment, dozens of monstrous hands will burst from the table, grasping with their jagged, filthy nails onto your body. Struggle all you like. You are theirs now. They will begin kneading your skin, pushing and twisting, tickling and caressing. More will erupt from under you, pushing into your back with their knuckles. If at this point you cannot stand the treatment, if you are far too disgusted by their attentions, merely say,
"I reject this test. End it."
They will pull at your extremities, ripping you apart joint by joint. This will be a mercy. If, however, you can stand this, say,
"I relax in your care. Bring me to the object, O holder."
At this point, five arms will erupt from the bed. Two will cover your eyes. Two will grasp your mouth and hold it as open as it can be. You will taste the salt and grime on their fingers. The last one will hold a bit of sweet fruit. It will dangle it across your tongue, and its juice will dribble into your mouth. You will want to hold this fruit in your mouth for a day, then begin to chew for the rest of eternity. Do not bite it. Do not savor its flavor. This is a trap. If you give in to this sweet fruit, your corpse will be as a sweet fruit for the million hands of the holder. If you pass this test, you will be rewarded. The hands will transform as they knead you. They will be as soft and delicate as a young maiden's. Their nails will be perfectly trimmed and manicured. The smell of elegant perfume will gently waft across your nose. It will not be very powerful at all, but tantalizing. You will hear a chanting from inside your mouth, in a voice that is not your own. That is, was, the sweet fruit. It is now dried up into a small ashy stone. It will chant of the heroes who tasted its brothers and sisters of yesteryear. Relax. For now, the holder is pleased with you. When your relaxation has drifted you off into a state of utter bliss, the ash fruit will be withdrawn from your mouth. The hands that held open your mouth will grip your throat tight enough that you cannot escape. The hands that closed over your eyes will open, but only far enough to see straight ahead. The hands that once caressed you will hold you tight, almost painfully. You will be tilted into a vertical position, and the long eye stalks of the holder will poke into your limited view. They will watch you, some of them critically, some of them angrily, some of them sympathetically, and some will look at you lewdly. Say to it,
"May this body offend your eyes, O holder. Bring me the object."
Pray that this is true, for if it is not, the holder will rip out your arms and eyes, and you will forever experience life through it. If you are indeed offensive to its eyes, you may still count yourself unlucky, for your quest will not end this day. From between your legs will erupt a pair of arms. Held in their hands will be a massive, jagged, ornate key. It will stab into your chest and rip out from you a glowing light. The wound where it plunged into you will be gone. The key will be tossed away. The sphere of light will consume the key. It will take on a form identical to yours and will dim until it is your exact twin. Your twin will discuss with you all manner of things. What it will say, none may know, except that to answer its questions and respond to its statements will slowly erode your every mental defense. Be perfectly honest with it, in precise and full detail. If you wish to laugh, laugh. If you wish to cry, cry. If you are enraged, yell. Hold nothing back. Focus only on your twin. Do not look at the eyes or hands, no matter what they do. Do not listen to the whispers coming from the hands on the side of your head. If you do, you will be crushed, and your twin will drink deeply of your blood. When your twin is done with their conversation, it will revert to being a key, a small key. At that point, the hands by your head will say,
"Speak, for you have faced yourself."
Ask it only one question.
"Who are we to him?"
The hands will hold your neck absolutely still. You will not be able to move your head. The hands will close over your eyes and mouth. You will be unable to speak or see. The hands will spread your arms and legs as far as they might be spread. You will not be able to move. You will feel something slimy sliding along the inside of your thighs. You will be unable to protest. At that point, the holder will describe to you every single evil thing that he has done to humanity, and every evil thing he will do to humanity. He will describe in vivid detail how each of the objects will be used to discover and create new evils to perform and enact. Then he will describe, to your horror, the results of these evils. He will tell you tales of the husks of humanity as they spend the rest of eternity reenacting his work, writhing in an agony beyond all imaginable hells multiplied together. And then, beyond it all, he will tell you of the abominations reserved by him for you, to be heaped upon you by those innocents you once held dear. Then, he will tell you what humanity is to him. This knowledge alone may kill you. Without warning, the hands will stretch you, pulling you apart until you think you might break. Then it will fold you at each of your joints until you are rolled in a ball. It will pull and stretch and twist your body every which way, and your body will scream in pain as the holder discovers new ways to contort your body without destroying it. Then it will dump you on the floor. You will be fully clothed, and in your pocket will be a small jagged ornate key, the key of the inner self. With it, you will discover the inner truths of any person or object you stab with it. You may leave at any time. That key is object 94 of 538.
For more information on this podcast, including how to submit your own story for consideration, please visit creepypod.com. You can also follow us at CreepyPod on social media and YouTube. All stories told on this podcast are done so through Creative Commons Sharealike licensing or with written consent from the authors. No portion of this podcast may be rebroadcast or otherwise distributed without the express written consent of the Creepy Podcast production team and the story's author.